This is Earl Netwall, the Micro Business Specialist, welcoming you to another edition of Yearlings, our ongoing weekly interview series with internet marketers who have had at least some level of success. My minimum criteria is that you have at least 1,500 people that are on your list and above. We're looking primarily at individuals who have had a level of success and are still in the process of building their internet marketing careers. Today, I'm happy to interview David Walker from the UK. David's been online for some time. In fact, he has been full-time online since March of 2006. He had some initial successes, but like all of us, some ups and downs. He's got some interesting insights on giveaways, on ad swaps, and other topics that we'll talk about in a moment. David, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Could you give us a thumbnail sketch of your last, 7-8 years of what internet works so that I have an idea of who you are?
Okay, well, I actually quit my job in March 2006 to go full-time online. I was involved in gambling and soccer niches, which I had, I suppose, reasonable success with. It was those niches that enabled me to quit my job in the first place and to go full-time online. Prior to that, I was always interested in trying to set up a web business, and I was dabbling with bits and pieces here and there while I was in school and at university. But it wasn't until around, say, 2004, 2005, and then early 2006, where things really started to happen within the gambling and then the soccer niches, which enabled me to do this full-time. And from June 2009, that's when I decided to go into the internet marketing niche, because both the gambling and the soccer, that sort of dried up for me up to about late 2008. So it was June 2009 where I really made the decision that I really need to do something if I'm going to continue to be able to work for myself online. So that's when I decided to give internet marketing a go.
Okay, so in your case, you had some success, but
yeah.
It was only relatively recently that you really got into list building. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, I just think of all the wasted opportunity back in the day when I was doing the gambling and the soccer niches. I wasn't building a list at that time, and I think, if I was, then I would have made so much more money, and, that's something that does sort of annoy me even to this day, even though now I suppose I'm not involved in those anymore.
Sure. See, one of the lessons we're trying to teach in this whole series is different people approach internet marketing a lot of different ways. In your case, you had some success, but you kind of missed out on the list building. But now you recognize the need to do that, and that's one of the messages I'm trying to get out to people, is that list is extremely important. How did you go about starting to build the list once you decided to do it?
Well, in the early days, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening to the call now who can probably identify with this. When you first start out, it's really, really difficult because nobody knows who you are, nobody knows where you are and what you're doing. So really, those really early days where you're trying to build a list are just so frustrating. It took months to get even a few hundred subscribers, and in those early days all I was doing was I had an opt-in form on my blog, and I was just hoping that people would opt in via that. And it wasn't until a few months later then I actually built a squeeze page and started driving a bit of traffic to that as well. But yeah, in the early days it's just a case of getting anyone subscribed onto your list by hook or by crook. In those early days, they do just come in one at a time, a real trickle. But you're just so happy just to see those few subscribers jumping on the list in those early days, just to see that you are moving forward, even if it is slowly.
And in your case, you use your blog as your initial source of list building, is that right?
Yeah.
And how did you get people to get to your blog?
Well, from about April 2009, I decided to have a go at Twitter. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it, but I'd read a few ebooks here and there on how to you know really ramp up your Twitter following. So after about 6 months, I had about 50,000 followers. So I was getting a fair bit of traffic to my blog just from Twitter. You know, I will admit I probably was a bit spammy on Twitter. You know, I was. Every blog post I was tweeting it several times. Any time I was doing anything else, whether I was involved in a giveaway event or anything like that, I was just tweeting them, and that was sending a decent amount of traffic to my blog and to my opt-in pages in those early days. But yeah, I am grateful that I did have Twitter to fall back on and such, because if I didn't have that, then I'd be really struggling to get any sort of traffic, I think.
Okay, so you use Twitter, and you learn how to build a Twitter list, and then from there you fed your blog, and from your blog you got opt-ins and use that to build your list. You mentioned just now giveaways, and you just recently had your own giveaway that celebrated, was it your 30th birthday?
30th birthday, yeah.
Yeah, well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Was this the first time that you've done your own giveaway?
Yeah, it was the first time that I'd hosted my own. It was something that I'd thought about for a few months, but I thought, well, my 30th birthday is quite a landmark event, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to put a giveaway event around it, which actually had some meaning behind it as well. So I'm really glad I did that, because that was quite successful.
Okay. But prior to doing your own, you were participating in other people's giveaways.
Yeah, I was participating in them. I suppose I was dipping in and out of them. I went through a stage where I was using them all the time, and I was getting a few opt-ins here and there, and then I went for a period of a few months where I just didn't bother using them at all. And then when I was at an event in the UK, I was fortunate enough to meet a guy called Paul Teague, who'd hosted several of his own events, and he got me back into them then, so I suppose I've got him to thank for setting up my own event.
Okay. How difficult is it to run a giveaway? It seems like that's a lot of work, isn't it?
To get the actual giveaway set up, it's not that bad. If you've got a bit of technical proficiency, and by technical proficiency I mean you know how to set up a MySQL database, and you know to use FTP, then that's not so bad. It's not actually that difficult to get the script, the giveaway script installed. But then it's just the day-to-day running, which can be quite hard work when you've got to approve all the gifts and the special offers, and you're tapping up everyone that you know on your Skype list and email, trying to get them to promote the giveaway for you, etc. Then that's what takes the time. You know, it's not actually getting the giveaway set up itself. That's pretty straightforward.
Okay, so it's getting people to actually do the promotion.
With
so many giveaways these days, how do you actually do that? I mean, is it just calling on friends that you've had a relationship with? If you go, you can probably find 7, 8, 9 giveaways that you could join from right now. How do you get them to join your giveaway? And then, once you do that, how do you get them to promote it?
Yeah, that is difficult. I mean, you see so many giveaways which are just straight out of the box as such. You know, they haven't been customized or anything at all. They've only got a handful of people signed up to them as contributors, and I don't suppose those contributors are pushing the giveaway, you know, particularly hard. So a lot of these giveaways they do pass by relatively unnoticed. One way that I've tried to get people to promote, I think I was fortunate in my first giveaway, because it was based on my 30th birthday, so I think people who I already built a relationship with may have, you know, promoted it to me as a favour as well, because it was, you know, my 30th birthday. If it was just some other just sort of meaningless event, then maybe not. But another way that I did try to give them an extra incentive was basically offering them cash. You know, cash prizes for the most active promoters. So for my 30th birthday, I think I initially had, it may have only been initially a $250 prize pool. So I was going to give cash prizes to the top three promoters, you know, the people who'd recruited the most, a combination of the most contributors and members to the site. But because I got so many people in initially, and there were a lot of people who were taking the upgrades as well, I actually boosted that up to about, I think it was about $350 or $400 prize pool in the end. So that's what I would recommend to anyone who's who maybe wants to run their own giveaway and wants to stand out, you know, offer cash, because there's nothing that motivates people more than making money. And it's interesting actually this month, because there are about five giveaways now taking place in June, which are all offering cash bonus prizes, which is pretty unusual.
I have a question for you. If you've got a huge list and you know, you're used to sending people to giveaways, there's probably a dozen or two people that do a lot of giveaways and they got a shot at that. How do you get the people that don't think they have a chance at winning that cash prize? How do you motivate them to promote it? Or, you know, have you given any thought to that? Or isn't it worth worrying about?
Well, with my 30th birthday giveaway, you know, I like to think that the giveaways are ideal for newcomers to internet marketing to take part, because it's a way that newbies can add people to the list, even if they only get 5 or 10 subscribers. You know, when people are first starting out, it could take them weeks to get 10 subscribers on the list. So one method that I used for the newbies, rather than them concentrating on winning the cash prizes, because it's likely that they'd realize, well, you know, I'm not going to get that many referrals anyway, because, you know, either I don't have a list or I've only got a small list. So maybe the cash prizes wouldn't be that much of a motivator for them. But one method that I used, and again, this was something that Paul Teague introduced me to, was to not downgrade people for non-promotion. A lot of giveaways, by default, downgrade a contributor's account to that of a member's, which basically means the gift is removed, and they're just like another member then. If the script doesn't detect any referrals under that contributor's ID, you know, that's pretty unfair, especially for a newbie who may not be not promoting a giveaway. It's just that they can't, because they haven't got a list, or they've not really got many followers on Twitter, or maybe their Facebook account that maybe they're using for business isn't that big. So they may be, you know, sending these messages out to the limited resources that they have. But if they can't get people, you know, to sign up under their referral, then that's not really any fault of their own. So that was one tactic that I used, the no downgrades for
not promotion. Yeah.
And I got a lot of emails from people who were just starting us out as well, you know, really thanking me for doing that, and they say, no, this has been the most effective giveaway that we've ever taken part in, because you didn't downgrade me, and that was really good. That was really nice. So that's something that I'm going to be adopting for all my future giveaways, I think, as well.
Sure. Now, you're supporting another giveaway now, a friend of yours, is that right? Was it the World Cup one?
Yeah, the World Cup giveaway is being co-hosted by myself and Paul Wilson, who's another marketer based in the UK.
And that's still open right now for contributors, isn't it?
Yeah, we're open for contributors now, and it goes live to members on June the 11th to coincide with the kickoff of the World Cup.
Okay, good. What would you advise people who are looking at a half dozen different giveaways to decide which one they should upgrade in and which one they should pass on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is a question that I get asked a lot as well. Really, there is no better way to know whether to upgrade or not than by just to get involved with giveaways yourself. Initially, I'd recommend that people just sign up to all the giveaways that are around as free members, just to get a feel for them, and just so they they start recognizing the types, you know, the names of the people who are running these events, because you'll find that every month there'll be people who run the same old sort of mediocre events that pass by relatively unnoticed, and you'll also start recognizing the names of the people who are running reasonably good events, which do get a lot of contributors, get a lot of members, and you can see that the people behind these types of events, you know, really believe in them, and they're doing their best to make them stand out. You know, they might be offering cash prizes, they may be offering other free downloads, free gifts, etc. when you log into the giveaway. So I'd recommend that people who may be brand new to giveaways just get involved with them, register for as many as you can, and just familiarize yourself with basically the giveaway community.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it, unless you really find, you know, a guru that you're following that tells you straight about which ones to get in. I'm not always the best at that myself. So. Another question on giveaways, and since you have the experience and then behind the scenes, how well do the tech staffs do? Do you get from your side where you got to see what's going on? Was there a lot of conversions on the tech staffs, or did they kind of get looked over?
Honest answer, no. unfortunately not. I suppose I was in a privileged position to have run my own giveaway recently, so I got to see behind the scenes on basically how these events work. And I know my admin tech stands, which had the which were all positioned at the top of the screen, so they got an even more prime position. They had tens of thousands of impressions, and I think my top performing ad had about 60 clicks from 20,000 impressions. So, while I think they're a nice little additional feature, anyone who's entering these giveaways, don't bank on getting a load of extra traffic from the text ads, because I think they do pass by relatively unnoticed, and certainly go unnoticed.
Yeah, is it fair to say that the one-time offers do a bit better than that?
Yeah, the one-time offers do. Again, it is only going to be a small percentage of people who take you up on the one-time offers. But yeah, I'd say they definitely perform better than the text ads. I mean, if you do upgrade to a giveaway and you're given the option to have a text ad, then use them, because you may still get a few click-throughs, and you never know, the person who clicks through those ads may be, a raving customer who can't wait to buy whatever it is that you're selling. But yeah, don't bank on getting a lot of traffic from them.
Sure. And you probably want to promote something free.
Yeah, definitely.
There are people there for free things, so that's a good thing to do. You've got a blog called Blog... I wrote it down and now I can't find it.
Well, my blog is davidwalker.tv, and my most recent product is Blog Not Slog.
Blog Not Slog. I think that's a great title. can you give us a quick tidbit as to what Blog Not Slog is all about?
Yeah. Blog Not Slog. On my personal blog, davidwalker.tv, I've got an opt-in form on there which will give you Blog Not Slog basics for free. And the free report just basically tells you step-by-step how to set up a blog. You know, if you've never set one up before, you know, it'll go through registering the domain name, sorting out hosting, installing a WordPress blog, getting a theme, all of that sort of day one stuff which you need to do if you want to get a blog online. And then the upgrade from that then is my report then called Blog Not Slog Breakthrough. And what Blog Not Slog Breakthrough is, it's pretty much the day-to-day blueprint of what I'm doing in my own business. So it discusses lots of different stuff to do with blogging. So, for example, the types of content that you can put on your blog. It explains how you can be perceived to be like an instant authority figure in your niche, even if you're brand new to that niche. It talks about how you can get people to opt into your list, how to create a free product, how to monetize free opt-ins, talks a little bit about traffic. You know, it is all the stuff that I'm doing every day myself in my own business to further enhance my own online reputation and credibility and grow my own business online.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems for bloggers is coming up with fresh content on a regular basis. I presume you talk about that to some extent. Do you have any general tidbits you can share with people on how to, you know, put new stuff in there on a regular basis? And if you would, how often do you think people should be putting content in?
Well, in terms of how often, I don't know. I don't think there's any real right or wrong answer, but what I would say is to try and be consistent. So when you know, the problem that a lot of bloggers have is they start their blog like a bat out of hell. You know, they could be posting two or three times a day. You know, they could be having several days in a row like this, so they could have 10 or 15 brand new posts in 1 week, and then after that first week, then they just burn out, and then the blog, you know, maybe gets updated twice a week, then once a week, then once a month, and it just dies out. So I think in terms of frequency, I think you should just be consistent. If you're going to post every day, then you should always post every day, because you know, your regular readers will expect to see content from you. But in terms of then how to get or how to put new content on your blog, I actually wrote a free blog post on my blog that covered that very issue. I suppose the gist of it is to brainstorm. So if you just get a big sheet of paper and just brainstorm, maybe even one of your blog posts that you've already written about. So if you've written a blog post about traffic, you just write traffic, and then you can just sort of fork off all of those different things then about traffic. So you can say, well, you know, free types of traffic, paid types of traffic, and just build it off that. So you're building like what's the phrase I'm looking for? It's like a mind map type thing. Then you're just brainstorming all of these different aspects, and once you're done with that, you could have, you know, 50 different blog posts which you could write, and that will keep you going for, you know, a month or whatever. And you know, you can just do this every couple of weeks or so, and by doing that, you'll never run out of things to talk about.
Okay, so it's just a matter of sitting down, thinking what the various options are, and then doing it.
I mean, you know, you could do this from a post on your own blog, or if you read a post that you really like on somebody else's blog, and you think, well, you know, how could I sort of approach that? And then you can just write it down on your sheet of paper and just brainstorm all of the different possibilities, or, you know, all of the different tangents that you can go off. And, you know, that's a really good way to come up with just unlimited blog post ideas. So, you know, anyone who thinks that they've got nothing to talk about or write about, you know, you're so wrong. There are unlimited ideas out there which you can explore.
Okay. Now, you've got people on your list, and you're sending them regular emails, I take it. And one of your recent emails, you talked about making kind of a change in your approach to emailing to your list. Do you want to go into that at all?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like a lot of people, I suppose, over the last few months, you know, we've all been caught up in the ad swap wave. I can't really be too harsh on ad swaps, because that's how, I suppose, I grew my list from, I suppose, a few hundred up to about 10,000 in the space of about 5 months. And, you know, that list was pretty responsive as well up until about a month or so ago, I would say, when I noticed a really large drop-off in the open rates and the click-through rates as well. And I think what the problem probably is that, you know, these people, they're not just on my list, and they may not just be on your list as well. You know, they could be on maybe 10 other marketers' lists as well. And if they're receiving the same sort of ad swap copy or ad swap offers, etc., you know, every week, then they're just going to just get fed up with it and just start ignoring you, and I think that's what was happening on my list. So yeah, I've taken what's probably a bit more of a bold step now in that I'm not really going to be doing any ad swap type mailings or anything anymore. I'm going to approach it now from a more content perspective, or maybe even like a full-blown newsletter perspective.
Do you see yourself doing that less frequently then?
I've got it in my mind at the moment to do it, to post three times a week. Previously I was mailing out to my list 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So I think I think 3 days a week on the newsletter to begin with, just to see how that works. Because you know, I don't know if this is going to work. You know, I'm just trying something new with this. I think it'll be a better approach because it could be a lot more personal. You know, and there'll be some good content to go through as well, and rather than just a one paragraph free link, click here for your free download, etc. So I'm just gonna see how it goes over the next few weeks.
I'm interested in seeing what you do because I've shared your recent results with people dropping off of the list and my open rates going down, and I think you're right. It's everybody that my list came from somebody else's list, and they've been bombarded by a dozen or two other marketers who are just kind of swapped everybody.
Everyone's just receiving the same messages over and over again. So yeah, I'm sure that gets pretty tedious.
Yeah. So are you going to write an e-zine, or are you going to refer people back to your blog and have them read it there? Or do you do that at all, or do you kind of keep them separate?
I think it'll be a combination of the two. Even before I came to this idea, I was sending out the occasional content email, which had a bit of, maybe a bit of backstory, and then linked to a blog post. So I'm still going to be doing that sort of stuff. It may be in more of an easy format. So instead of maybe just referring them to one blog post, they may refer them to, maybe two. I might just put some more information in what I've been getting up to in stuff outside of internet marketing, just to try and be a bit more personal. I'm not really sure. I'm just going to see how it goes. I'm subscribed to a few different people's newsletters who are adopting this approach as well. So I'm going to try and emulate them to some degree, but make sure that I'm doing my own stuff as well.
Okay, we're at the end of our time. Would you give us the website you'd like people to go to one more time?
My personal blog, if you want to come over and find out a bit more about me and leave me a comment and all that sort of stuff, is www.davidwalker.tv. You can get my free blog not slog report from there. Alternatively, you can go to my blog not slog squeeze page, which is blognotslog.com, and you can download my free report there as well.
Very good. I want to thank you, David, for joining us today. Before we go, I just want to invite anyone who is an internet marketer that's got a list of at least 1,500 people. If you're interested in being a guest on a future show, drop me an email at enetwall@gmail.com. I also encourage you to visit my blog, www.microbusinessspecialist.com/blog. This recording will be posted there in due course. David, we have a couple of seconds left. Who are the gurus or the people that you've looked to that you have the most benefit from paying attention to?
Put me on the spot here. I suppose I've got to mention Alex Jeffries, whose coaching course I went through last June. I suppose I've got to mention him because he gave me, a way back into internet marketing. I've attended two of Lee McIntyre, who's another UK marketer. I've attended two of his events, and he's very good as well. He's a really legit guy who walks the walk as well as talks the talk as well. So those two guys I've got a lot of respect for as well.
Very good.